Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So, funny story, Brandon.
What's that?
It's not that funny.
No.
No, we literally just lost a bunch of the episode.
Well, yeah, so we recorded the first half or so, and then the computer froze.
Yeah.
So, we're going to try that again, I guess.
And it lost everything, so...
Yeah, oh, it's all gone.
So, let's try and recreate that, shall we?
Oh. I don't know if I could be magical twice.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, anyway, as I said before, it's award show season, and Oscars are coming up. So, last year, about this time, we talked about the Oscars in general. But this time, since it's award show season, nothing says awards like being judgmental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So pretend you're in I'd be in the ball gown, you'd be in the tux. Mm. And we are hosting our own Disney-focused award show. I've got a list here of categories and nominees in each category, and you're going to figure out the winner.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to be the accountant with the briefcase with all the winners in it.
Exactly. That's exactly what you're doing.
I'm not going to read the wrong category.
No. What an upset. Before we get to that, though, Brandon, what is your nerd thing now this
okay,
week?
Okay. Well, now I'm prepared.
Okay.
Take two. So this episode's going to come out on Monday.
Yes.
Which is also the NHL trade deadline. And I'm a big hockey fan, and that's my nerd thing.
That's pretty cool. My nerd thing is that March is official Disney Bound Challenge Month, and it's been kind of cool, like, checking out the Disney Bounds, and sometimes I participate, sometimes I don't, and sometimes you can guess who I am, and sometimes you can't.
I'm pretty bad at guessing.
But what is nice when I say it, you're always like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense.
No, so. I mean, that's what I like about Disney Bound. I don't like guessing, because it's supposed to be a little obscure
of
thing, so without the picture of the character beside it, mm-hmm. I often don't know what's going on. But then when you see it, that's cool.
Yeah, and a lot of times I won't tell you what the prompt is, so that makes it even harder. Like the one day I was like in gray, and you didn't know the prompt was Fantasyland. Had you known that, you might have been able to pick up on Dumbo, which
probably
is what
not.
I was doing. Okay, well maybe you were.
You're the sword in stone.
I mean, like, sure.
I don't know.
Also, Brandon, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a delicious Czech beer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I previously opened it with Thor's hammer.
Yeah, because you're worthy.
We did this whole thing.
Yeah.
It was cool. I was worthy.
Take our word on it.
But it's already open now, so.
Yeah, but it tastes all right?
Yeah, it tastes pretty good, even though it's a couple years old.
Yeah, it's like from shortly after our trip when we went to the Czech Republic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm drinking a cranberry neutral because it's standard and, yeah, tasty.
Yeah, I just... quick thing out of the fridge and
exactly,
yum, yum, yum.
Exactly. Also, Marvel Moon Knight Countdown. This comes out, like you said, on Monday. 9 days.
Yeah, 9 days.
9 days.
Mm-hmm.
Math.
Math.
Yeah, math.
Yeah, we discussed math. There's math.
There's math.
21 plus 9 is 30.
Yes.
And it comes out on the 30th.
That makes sense.
Sweet.
Math. That takes us to the news.
Disney A News Update.
You know, that was a lot quicker second time around.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, filming movies and doing multiple mm-hmm. takes of the same thing. Like, I know they gotta do it. Mm-hmm. I would struggle with that.
Yeah.
Because I do go through things faster the more I do
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, I mean, I've done a number of speeches
mm-hmm.
over the years, and every time I do it, it's always quicker and quicker, and yeah. Okay, so news. You mentioned Moon Knight. We got a new little clip, a 30-second promo. It's like a TV spot or something like that.
I think it was just the Disney Plus YouTube.
Okay.
They might be using it for TV spots. I'm not sure. I have seen some Moon Knight ads during mm-hmm. hockey games.
Oh, okay.
It's the only time I see ads on TV anymore, really.
Right. But new footage.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
New footage. It really kind of plays into that multiple personality mm-hmm. thing that he's got going on. Because he's crazy.
Straight up cray cray.
No.
No.
That'll fit in better
That's
with the next.
I was going to do it.
A little bit better with the next Marvel property.
I was totally trying to do that on purpose. Because the next one up is Ms. Marvel. We got a trailer for Ms. Marvel. And it is a very different style than Moon Knight.
Yeah, there's less crazy people beating other things into pulps.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It is more teen, preteen. You said it was like a Disney Channel age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, maybe not quite as cheesy as a Disney Channel
show.
It is
still Marvel.
But definitely more for that age group.
Yeah. Yeah, very different style. Looks super fun, and I'm really excited to see what they do with it. I don't think that it's going to be a problem watching it as an older person or anything like that. It's just a different target demographic.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun and enjoyable.
Looks fun and enjoyable to me.
Also, there's a proposed Paradise Pier, that's a mouthful, redo that was leaked. Not sure if it was accidentally leaked or purposefully leaked. But
it's on purpose.
It is on purpose. Okay.
I have made the executive decision.
All right.
It is on purpose.
Brandon says it's on purpose, so it must be on purpose.
I mean, I didn't actually see the leak, so if it's like an official looking leak, like it's probably on purpose. Unless it's just like rampant speculation, which I don't think it is.
No, it was, yeah.
They let these things out as a form of viral marketing.
Let's see what people think about this. Mm. Yeah, so it's basically Toy Story themed, and I get the impression that it's supposed to be that you are, like, being shrunk down toy size, and I'm not sure if it's going to be, like, all Pixar different themed, but the stuff I saw was very Toy Story-y. And
cool.
Yeah, it did seem cool. And we're talking about how, like, it's almost sad because, like, Paradise Pier, we didn't really have a problem with the theming of the pier itself, but it doesn't exist anymore.
That whole California boardwalk, it was a cool idea. Mm-hmm. They kind of cheaped out on it, and having a whole hotel still themed to it when nothing else in the park is a bit rough. I mean, yeah, you got the Pixar Pier. So I assume that they're going to make the hotel like a Pixar pier.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at all of the pictures right now. So you can look it up. It's on, well, it's all over, really.
Forky.
Yeah, Forky is, there's all the different characters. There's, but Woody and Buzz are quite large. I like that the elevator has the Buzz Lightyear toy.
Oh, it's like his toy box. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You've got Check and Desk being Rubik's Cubes. There's Scrabble up on the ceiling.
Luxo Ball!
Yeah.
Giant Luxo Ball!
So very...
But it's still going to be the same hotel at the end of the day.
It is, yeah. And finally, we were talking about Oscars and awards and everything like that, so... was released that We Don't Talk About Bruno will be performed live at the Oscars later this month, which you said was interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah, because it's not nominated.
No.
It was not submitted for nomination,
nope.
But it's insanely popular.
So in other words, please watch the broadcast.
Yeah, like the Oscars has struggled to find an audience increasingly over the years, largely due to their... allergic nature to popular things, which is kind of funny, but they do try to intersperse them, and this year they're like really reaching for it. They have the whole Twitter campaign for the People's Choice like they're gonna mention the most popular Twitter hashtag movie.
Oh boy.
I'm like, ooh.
That's a little cringy.
Yeah, the kids would say that is cringe.
Is that what you were gonna say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I say cringy, but it's not even cringy anymore.
No, it's cringe. It's just cringe.
It's like totes cringe.
Yeah, I don't think they say that.
Dang it.
That would be cringe. I think. I don't know.
Hey, you know
what?
I'm
too old.
Okay, Disney assembled. Troy and Mimi. Mimi, do kids say totes?
No, I don't think they do. I'm pretty sure they don't.
If you haven't listened to Disney Assembled, you should, because I just gave them a shout out. They're awesome. But Mimi would know, right?
Yes.
I could ask my students, but they would lie to me just to make me look like an idiot. So
smart.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, We Don't Talk About Bruno being performed.
They're going to talk about Bruno.
Again.
It's like, there was one rule. It's like Fight Club. Come on.
They say it again and again and again. No, no, no.
Oh, jeez. What's in the bag?
It's not a head, it's just content.
Oh.
Ah. Disney A grab bag. Okay, so before we get into the meat of our topic,
Meat.
Like a turkey leg.
Yay!
Hey! gives meat and Disney. Yeah. You like that?
I like turkey leg.
Oh, yeah.
I might have to have
you
one.
You might have to.
Just for the picture, if nothing else.
You know what I have to do? Do you know I've never had a dill pickle spear?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you're gonna.
Does that not seem like the dumbest thing ever? Because I adore pickles.
It's not. Do they call them a spear?
Because I don't know. It's a giant pickle.
The giant pickle, like as big as your head.
Yeah, I've walked around with pineapple spears before. Maybe that's why I was thinking spears. Yeah, yeah,
pineapple spear. It's just a big pickle.
I'm up for it. Okay. Well, anyway, before we get to all the giant turkey leg, I'm gonna just say that now. I thought I'd run through the Best Picture nominees. We haven't seen all of these. We always try to see the Best Picture nominees before we watch.
No, we have. The last, 10 years, we've seen all the Best Picture nominees.
That's true. And then some extras. The other, if there's one that's nominated in, writing and actor and stuff like that, we try to. But we always watch the Best Picture nominees. This is the furthest behind we've ever been. We have some serious cramming to do.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
We're going to get it done.
We've been cramming like this before. It seems like we cram more we every have, year.
It's
I
true. Do you remember the 1 year we watched three the day of the Oscars?
Yes. See,
that was worse.
That was much worse.
Okay, fair enough. So our Best Picture nominees are Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story.
Okay, well, we haven't seen most of these, but which one are you most that you haven't seen yet? That you're most looking forward to seeing?
Ooh, okay. So I had kind of forgotten this whole list. I would originally, if I hadn't just looked at this today, I would have said Dune, but it's actually Nightmare Alley.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro movie.
Exactly.
Is always exciting.
Yeah, but I did really want to see Dune, so I'd say it's between those two.
It's definitely Dune for me. Mm-hmm. I'm probably least looking forward to watching The Power of the Dog. I think that's the most divisive movie on this list.
Right.
I've heard a lot of people say they absolutely hate it.
Ooh. Ooh. Let's try and sandwich it between some
But I'm not looking forward to any of them. They all look like something I could enjoy.
At least
even the 3-hour foreign film about grief.
Ugh, that sounds like a laugh riot.
Yeah. Gotta carve out 3 hours here somewhere.
Where you're okay to be depressed.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hmm. I also found...
West Side Story's on Disney Plus.
Yes, yes.
There's a couple on Netflix and whatever. But there is an interesting Disney connection, Marvel connection, with Belfast.
Oh, I didn't... Okay.
Directed by Kenneth Branagh, semi-autobiographical, and he's the director of Thor.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah,
that is cool. Well, because the next thing I was going to say are the... I'm going to very quickly run through the 23 nominations Disney has been given, because some of these I was like, that's Disney, because Disney just owns so many things, right?
There's all the things. So, Buena Vista is the parent company.
Exactly. But that one's interesting because that's a different tie. I like that.
Yeah. It's like a 6 degrees of separation type of situation.
That totally counts for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we do a local film festival every year and they have a Canadian film fest and they just say there has to be a connection to make it Canadian.
Someone somewhere was Canadian. They may have ate poutine on the craft services. No, not quite that bad.
No, not quite. But yeah, it's yeah.
No, they're mostly pretty Canadian. Like that's we've seen lots of really obscure films from that
true.
Film festival.
But we have also seen a couple where I'm like, who's Canadian in this? And it's like a minor actor. But yeah. Okay. So here are the 23 nominations total Disney has received. Best Picture, both Nightmare Alley and West Side Story. Apparently Nightmare Alley is on Disney Plus. And we have seen West Side Story and really liked
it. Nightmare Alley's on Disney Plus?
Yes, it is. I saw it today.
Oh, well, heck.
Because I was like, Disney? And so I looked up, I'm pretty sure it's on Disney Plus.
I feel like I was kind of trying to look for where these things were streaming. And that was one I didn't look up because I don't know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's on Disney Plus.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah. Best Director, Steven Spielberg for West Side Story. Best Actress in a Leading Role, Jessica Chastain from The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Apparently it's Disney. Best Supporting Actress, Ariana DeBose. Is that how you say that? DeBose? DeBosey? DeBose?
I am not sure.
Okay, well, let's go with that from West Side Story. DeBose. Best Animated Feature Film, Encanto, Luca, and Raya and the Last Dragon. Then?
I bet Encanto's gonna win.
What? Yes.
That's the only prediction I'm making on this show. Because we're not doing predictions.
No, we're not going to. You're picking winners later. Yeah.
Of yes. made up awards. I can do that.
Yeah. Best documentary feature is Summer of Soul or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised. I don't know what's up with that, but that's interesting.
Documentary feature. Oh, because like, that's a good title for documentary short because it's really a long title. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was always the thing. Best cinematography, both Nightmare Alley and West Side Story were nominated. Best sound, West Side Story. Best original score, Encanto. Best original song, Arguitas? It's from Encanto, and I should have practiced that before I said it, but I didn't, so let's keep going on very quickly.
Only one from Encanto got nominated.
Yeah, right? But and, I mean, it is probably technically the best one. It's the one where she is the vision.
Because they're only allowed to submit two, and that's why we don't talk about Bruno wasn't submitted for consideration. But I'm surprised the other one didn't get nominated as well.
Nope, did not.
This was a strong field this year then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to the songs. Interesting. But that is the beautiful one. That's Two Caterpillars is what that one is.
Hmm.
When she's remembering her, when she's having that moment with her grandma and like looking back into the past. Yeah, it's fairy. It's the one that made me cry. It's beautiful.
Oh, wow. That's such an achievement, making you cry. Oh.
Let's keep going. Best costume design, Cruella. Nightmare Alley, and West Side Story. To be fair, yeah, Cruella, the costumes are a character in and of themselves in that
they
movie.
They really are, yeah. That should win. It probably won't, but...
It should. Best production design, both Nightmare Alley and West Side Story. Best makeup and hairstyling, again, Cruella, and then the eyes of Tammy Faye. Best visual effects, Free Guy, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and Spider-Man No Way Home. There's your Spider-Man nomination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's... They keep the fancy, popular blockbuster movies to the sound and visual effects categories.
Yeah, but then they can say it's Oscar nominated.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they can say, no, we nominated Spider-Man. And it was like, exactly. But, so anyway, that's interesting.
And normally I'm fine. Like, Fast and the Furious does not need to be nominated for any Oscars. But Spider-Man No Way Home was... different, like,
yeah,
there was strong acting in that movie.
Oh yeah. Oh no, that was really good. And then the other one that made a lot of people angry, not maybe 6 Degrees, mm-hmm. because Andrew Garfield was in it, mm-hmm. was Tick Tick Boom.
That one got snubbed hard. That we also haven't seen that yet, but everything I hear about it and from the movies that we've seen so far that were nominated for Best Picture, they could have slid that one in for one of
definitely.
Those
like
no problem.
And, it was nominated in other categories, just not Best Picture. Okay, so let's get into the giant turkey leg now. Ready? I have here 24 categories, because there are 24 categories in the Oscars.
Oh, boy.
You are not to...
Wait, am I going to get played off?
Yes. some of these are really straightforward, and some I have, like, a reason that I'm asking you them.
I'd like to thank my agent... And my cat.
And that's just the one cat?
Yeah, just the one.
Poor kitty.
I mean, I'm not saying which one either. They could fight over it.
Okay. So these are in no particular order, but I tried to save some good ones for the end. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. So my first one here is actually, I mentioned Disney Assembled before. And they actually just did an episode about who they thought was the kindest Disney character. So you're going to pick... The award for the kindest animated Disney character.
Animated, okay.
The kindest kindest character in an animated Disney film. Let's put it that way. Your nominees are Olaf from Frozen, Snow White from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Piglet from Any Winnie the Pooh, Baymax from Big Hero 6, and Dory from Finding Nemo.
Okay, so first off, we're gonna absolutely just eliminate Snow White here.
Fair.
She like breaks into like a group of guys' homes and like messes things up, and like there's no consent there whatsoever. And so Olaf and Dory kind of suffer from the same problem. They're pretty kind. Olaf especially, he's literally like tries to sacrifice himself.
It's true.
Whatever, but a lot of their kindness just comes from being dumb.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Piglet, I don't know if he's actually kind or if he's just a doormat. Like, he doesn't stand up for himself. And I don't know if that's... he's quite kind to Pooh, but in general, I don't know. So I'm going to go with Baymax because that's literally like his sole purpose on Earth is being kind. He's literally designed from the ground up for kindness. He's literally a robot sent for kindness. Not back in time, but for kindness. Sure. Yeah, it's Baymax. Baymax is your winner.
And the winner is Baymax.
I probably shouldn't go through that list all the way, but no, I really wanted to
strongly about Baymax.
It's Baymax.
So when they asked, I said Piglet. Dude literally gives up his house.
Yeah,
to make Eeyore happy.
He's like kind of guilted, forced into it. He's a doormat.
But then
he's
someone else had written in Baymax, and I was like, okay, fine.
it's Baymax.
Okay, best character in an animated silent role. Kevin from Up. The Big Bird.
Yep. No, I know Kevin. Yeah.
Dopey from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Dumbo from Dumbo. Magic Carpet from Aladdin. Or Pluto from any of the Mickey Mouse cartoons.
So I'm going to discount Pluto because he's not actually silent. He makes a lot of noises.
Okay. Non-speaking.
non-speaking. Yes. Okay. Fine. Whatever. But I have to go with Dumbo because he's the only main character out of these.
Okay, fair.
He carries a whole movie.
It's named after him and everything.
But I'm going to give a runner-up to the Magic Carpet. The Magic Carpet's awesome. And I'm going to give this idea free to Disney. Let's do an animated crossover team-up buddy cop movie with the Magic Carpet and Doctor Strange's cloak.
What?
Yeah, I want to see that.
I would totally
free
watch
free idea. Disney Plus shorts. Magic Carpet and the Cloak of Illusions or whatever the heck it's called.
Did we hear that there's a new Aladdin live action coming out?
You might have said that there's
Why aren't they doing this instead?
Yeah, that would be better. there were some rumors about a sequel to Aladdin 2 Electric Boogaloo or something like that. I don't know.
We do not like the live action movies in general.
Generally not. The Aladdin one was like fine. It was fine.
Okay. Best underappreciated non-speaking sidekick. It's very specific.
This is very specific. Uh-huh. This is like when they used to give best child actor.
Yeah, exactly. So some of these are
inspired. Real category, by the way, in the Oscars back in the day.
Yeah, well, they used to. So I'm doing a history of film class right now. And they would always divide things also between black and white and color or between sound and not sound and silent.
Yeah.
For a while during that transition.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. If we ever got like virtual reality movies or smell-o-vision or something.
Exactly.
You'd have to kind of.
You'd have to differentiate.
Differentiate mm-hmm. that. I'm fine with that. Yeah. But it was a child actor is kind of funny. Like, actually, the gender is kind of funny too. Cause like, anyway.
Anyway.
I digress.
Yeah. So best underappreciated non-speaking sidekick in an animated Disney movie. Pua from Moana. Raja from Aladdin. Pegasus from Hercules. Toby from The Great Mouse Detective. That's the dog for anyone who doesn't know. I know you know, but for anyone else. And Cricky from Mulan. The cricket.
So, yeah, no, all of these guys are underappreciated. But I'm going to go with Pua. Because, he's left out. She is left out of the movie for like half of it.
He was literally
left behind.
Yeah.
And
he sits there on the beach
with
them.
Potential to be one of the best sidekicks
ever.
And so, yeah, super underappreciated even by the director and animators of the movie. Yep.
They did done Pua dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they were advertising it, I was so excited to watch it because the cute little piggy. And they can still take all my money for the cute little piggy. But had the cute little piggy had more of a role in it, I would give them more.
Yeah, we could have switched. don't bring along the stupid chicken. I know it like was a stowaway, but still, stupid chicken.
Cute piggy. Okay, so the next award is for the best Disney Parks treat. Dole Whip, churro, popcorn, corn dog, or the turkey leg.
Okay, there's only one answer here. Say it with me. Churro! Yeah, okay.
Fair. In my opinion, it's the Dole Whip, but I will give you churro. Best Star Wars quotation.
Best Star Wars quote, okay, yeah.
Rebellions are built on hope. Try not. Do or do not. There is no try. This is the way. I've got a bad feeling about this. Or may the force be with you.
Well, I mean, I always high five myself when I hear I've got a bad feeling about this, but it's of course May the Force be with you. I mean, like, that's Star Wars.
Okay. I will give you that. That would be my second choice. My top one was I've Got a Bad Feeling About This, just because I get so excited. I almost put Hello There.
Yeah. But anyway, the takeaway from this is Star Wars is very quotable.
Oh my goodness. So I looked this up and there were like 28 things I could have picked. Oh yeah. It was so good. And then I had like narrowed down. I was like, okay, only one Yoda. Okay, only one. Yeah. I kept going.
Yeah.
And I tried to do like a variety. Best Disney pirate. So, best pirate in a Disney film or attraction. Hondo from Star Wars. So, Hondo Ohnaka.
Yep.
Captain Hook from Peter Pan. Captain Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean films. I said films, not attraction. Red.
I mean, I think he's the same character in the attraction. So
Now, Pirate Red.
Pirate Red, yeah.
From Pirates of the Caribbean Attraction. Uh-huh. See, I was trying to do not two from the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And Long John Silver from both Treasure Island and or Treasure Planet, because he's in both.
Right.
Different character, but yeah.
Yeah, well, because Treasure Planet is based on Treasure Island.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway. So one Long John Silver. But you can choose the iteration, basically.
Long John Silver might be my favorite pirate in fiction, but not in the Disney version.
And it was Disney pirate.
Yeah, so I gotta go Captain Jack for this. He carries those movies.
Oh, he's amazing in those movies. He may have, like, he has, Johnny Depp has stuff around him.
Yeah.
But as Captain Jack Sparrow, especially that first movie, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Good choice.
Very good.
So the next award is for the scariest thing at Disneyland Resort. And the nominees are The Haunted Mansion, Pinocchio's Whale, The Skeletons in Pirates, which are often falsely rumored to be a real, Mickey's Wheel of Death, the pal around, or The Price of Merchandise.
Well, I mean, yes, The Price of Merchandise is scary, but you know that going into it. I think that Mickey's Wheel of Death is actually the sneaky scariest thing in Disneyland.
The correct answer.
I was absolutely shocked when I went on that the first time. I loved it. You
cried.
like literally.
Literally.
And
swore at you.
And I was, I really enjoyed that. So yeah, no, it's definitely Mickey's Wheel of Death.
It's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. The Disney World item you most wish to experience is the next award. And the nominees are Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, Tron Light Cycle Run Roller Coaster, the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, or Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
So this is a bit of an uneven category because one of these things is a lot less attainable than the other things. I am really excited for Guardians and Tron.
Yep.
But since I don't have to pay for it, I'm saying the Star Wars Galactic Hotel. Yeah, I'm not going to pay for it anytime soon unless something seriously changes. But yeah, that's the winner.
Okay. All right.
Money, no object.
Money, no object. The next award is for best female MCU character in a non-animated role, because Captain Carter's not on here.
good reason. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Wanda or the Scarlet Witch, Captain Marvel or Carol Danvers, Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff, Gamora, or Pepper Potts.
Okay. Well, all these characters are pretty darn good.
Yeah, they are.
I like Pepper Potts in the movies. Gwyneth Paltrow's kind of weird, but that's beside the point.
It was the character.
Yeah, the character. But I'm gonna go with Black Widow because she's the OG, and she made it possible for all the other ones.
That's fair. She'd be my second choice, so, you know.
I know, love Wanda. I love Wanda
so much.
Wanda is very good, but...
But I love Black Widow almost as much, just for the same thing. She was the OG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Craziest Disney Plus reveal. And what I did here is we're doing from our first, like, our original Star Wars Disney Plus show and the original MCU-related
Okay.
Disney Plus show.
Yep.
So, the nominees are it was Agatha all along. Pietro, played by Evan Peters. The seeing Grogu, or Baby Yoda at the time, we didn't know his name, at the end of episode 1 of Mandalorian. Seeing Luke at the end of season 2 of Mandalorian.
Okay, well,
These are really good.
These were all good reveals. I was probably most surprised by Evan Peters, mm-hmm. but boner joke. So obviously it's Grogu.
Yeah.
This set the stage for Disney Plus shows in general, because mm-hmm. this Mandalorian was the first original Disney Plus property, and Star Wars kind of savior, and like that turned the show itself on its head. Yeah, it's Grogu.
All right, I mean,
but they were all good. So.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grogu.
The next award is for Best Mountain at Disneyland Park.
Ooh.
Your nominees are Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, or Matterhorn Mountain.
Whew, that is a tough one.
I know.
I love the mountains. They're all good.
We're going to do a mountain challenge.
I'm going with Big Thunder.
Nice.
Yes, I like Big Thunder the most.
That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I like Big Thunder the most.
But I mean, I don't know what I would have expected. They're all awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My answer is Splash.
Yeah, you like Splash. Mm-hmm. I prefer.
But I like all.
I prefer the roller coasters. Splash might be a little long and slow for me in general.
I like it more.
Yeah. Space is pretty good, but there's way better roller coasters out there. So Big Thunder, as just the outdoor mm-hmm. theming and stuff, it does it for me.
And shout out to our last episode where we talked at length about Big Thunder in our Frontierland episode. Big Thunder would be my second choice, probably, if I had to choose. Just great theming. The next award is for Best Unofficial Disney Princess. So there are certain things, official criteria, and then they actually have to go through a coronation. So, Kida from Atlantis, Esmeralda from Hunchback of Notre Dame, Ada and Dot from A Bug's Life, Nala from Lion King, and Alanui, is that how you say that? I think so. From Black Cauldron.
Well, I don't really remember Bug's Life, apparently.
It's the female bug, the female ant.
Oh.
And Dot is the little sister.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, no, it's got to be Nala.
Yeah.
Isn't it
ridiculous that she's not actually a princess?
She's better than Simba, so.
It's true. Like actual lions.
Yeah. I mean, it's realistic that way, so exactly. There you go. Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, it's Nala.
But, you can't, it has to be human to be an official
princess. I did used to like the princess from Black Cauldron when I was a kid, though.
Oh, but should she have made our crush-worthy episode?
She might have, should have been a runner-up on our crush-worthy episode, but it's Nala.
Okay, not to go off on a tangent here, but we had a discussion about crush-worthy Disney characters today in my drama class. They were looking up fairy tales, and I came into the room, and they were listening to Gaston, and then they were impressed that I was like, oh, it's Gaston. And they're like, how do you know that? I'm like, we're not going to play this Miss Mac names Disney music game. But
I mean, that's a very obvious song.
Yeah, it was just like the beginning chords was the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, yeah.
But then these couple girls were talking about how, okay, so I was like really excited because they're in grade 10, so they're talking like this. I was like really excited to see in the live action the prince, but the beast is so much better. I was like, yeah, beast, and then, ooh, prince. And I was trying not to spit up my coffee from laughing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, okay, well, apparently that's like a common thing, and then I changed the subject. Best visual effects in a Disney animated film. See, do you see the tie-in to the Oscars?
Yeah. Good job.
Cinderella's dress transformation. Elsa lets it go. Ariel's double human transformation. Sorcerer Mickey controlling the stars, comets, and water. You know when he falls asleep? No. And Pinocchio becoming a real boy. Yeah, there's lots. This is a huge category.
So I'm going to say that you missed the best visual effects.
Which is?
The evil queen in Snow White transforming into that.
It is so good.
That's pretty cool. And also Maleficent changing into the dragon. So you've kind of, the nominees here are wrong.
I tried to be more varied than like
Yeah, no, those are the first two, like, come to mind.
Really? That comes before your Cinderella's dress transformation?
Yeah, so that's the third one. Oh, like, okay. Cinderella's dress transformation of the ones on this list is like, I don't know, that old school animation is...
It's insane. Okay, so is that the winner?
That's the winner, okay. Yeah.
All right. Best song by a Disney villain.
Ooh!
Some good ones. This probably isn't even... Like, there's so many good ones.
Yes.
Be Prepared, performed by Scar in The Lion King. Gaston, performed by Gaston and LeFou and the Villagers in Beauty and the Beast. Shiny, by the name I can't pronounce, the crab, in Moana.
Yes, uh-huh.
Cruella de Vil by Roger in 101 Dalmatians. And the Oogie Boogie song, performed by Oogie Boogie in The Nightmare Before Christmas. That was my announcer voice. Do you like it?
Man, and you don't even have Ursula on here.
No, I don't.
Oh.
Because that was the clear winner.
Oh, okay. Well, I originally
had it, and I took it off because I'm like, no, I already talked about how that's the winner, so.
I don't know, like.
Oh, that is the best villain song that exists.
Yeah, Be Prepared is right up there. So I will say Shiny is actually the only one on this list that's my favorite song from the film that it's in.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Just because it's awesome. I don't know. Awesome.
I almost had a category that was Best Disney Song by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
you could fill out.
But maybe we'll do this again. Maybe we'll do a second annual. We'll do it again next year.
So yeah, no, I'm just going with my gut on this one. Yeah. It's Gaston.
That's really? I thought you were saying Be Prepared.
Yeah, it's right up there too. It was a tough category. Honor to be nominated with all these strong contenders, yeah. But no, it's Gaston. I've always liked the Gaston.
Do you
song.
Like Gaston better than Poor Unfortunate Souls?
I might.
Wow. Okay.
I might. Just
I literally
just because it's funny. It's funny.
Yeah,
and
it
I
is
like,
funny.
It I like funny. That it's funny.
It is funny. Poor Unfortunate Souls is one of my favorite Disney songs.
It's really good.
It's in my top 10, which is saying a lot for me. But I actually had that as the first thing on my list, and that's why I wanted to build this category. And I was like, no, that's too easy. Go take it off.
Alrighty.
Okay, best costume by a male. Han Solo's vest outfit. Aladdin's street rat outfit. Prince Charming, as he's dressed for the ball. Jack Skellington, the pinstripe suit. Or Peter Pan, his traditional green with leggings.
This is quite a varied list. Whoa. Okay, so I'm going to approach this as something I would want to wear.
Well, then I know the answer. Well, that's two. Then it's two between two.
It's definitely not Peter Pan. I think that's terrible.
You'd be a fantastic 6'7" Peter Pan.
Yeah. Jack has style.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Charming, I mean, whatever. Yeah. You're Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Shania Twain.
Yeah. Don't impress me much.
Exactly. Aladdin's costume is classic, but he's got the weird nipple thing and it's kind of very off-putting.
Okay.
It's Han Solo. Han Solo's the winner. He's got the cool vest,
yeah.
And he's got the striped pants, and he's got his holster.
Holster.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Han Solo's cool.
Han Solo's very cool.
Yeah.
Han Solo is very cool.
Okay. Yes, we understand. You wanna crush on Star Wars characters also. Okay.
Ooh, that can be next Valentine's Day episode. Best costume worn by a female character. Belle's yellow ball gown. Cinderella's magical ball gown. Wanda's Scarlet Witch outfit from WandaVision, Jasmine's green crop top outfit, or Aurora's magical blue-pink dress. And I specifically mentioned Jasmine's because she's the first Disney princess to wear pants.
Yes, period-appropriate pants. Mm-hmm. That is a cool costume. I like the blue-pink war that the fairies have with Aurora. That's probably one of the better parts of that.
I totally
first
agree.
Half of mm-hmm. that movie. I like the climax of that movie too, because mm-hmm. the dragon.
Dragon's
cool.
very cool. Maleficent is super cool.
I will say that the Scarlet Witch outfit is one of the best live action versions of a mostly comic book accurate costume.
I almost went for her classic Halloween costume.
That was cool. Like WandaVision had some great costumes. Really good.
I could have just nominated that whole thing.
Yeah. No.
That could have been best costume in WandaVision.
Yeah.
It could have been a category.
But no, I'm going to go with Belle's yellow
Fair.
Ball gown.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah. that Cinderella was original, but Belle went like, boo!
Exactly. And you could tell that Belle's dress was influenced by, like, the grandeur of it and everything was influenced by those original. But, yeah, there's something about that, for sure. That's the,
Yep. No, it's, that's the winner.
Best hair in a Disney-owned property. Leia's princess buns. Rapunzel's braided hair. Merida's red curls. Ariel's hair in the water. And Celia's, from Monsters, Inc., snake hair.
Okay, you give me the hair category, and I'm like, okay, there's one character where, like, hair is her character and superpower.
Mm-hmm,
So I think she kind of probably has to win by default. Mm-hmm. But there's some good options in here, like Leia's buns, like...
Yeah, they're iconic.
Yeah. Merida's hair is also kind of like her.
Oh, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ariel in the water, sure, okay, whatever. And
but Celia's hair is made of snakes.
Yeah, it's cool. It is cool. But yeah, no, it's Rapunzel.
So originally this was my hair and costume category, and then hair and makeup category, and then I realized it was all just hair. So, okay, the next award is for Best Original Disneyland Attraction Still in Existence. And the nominees are the Mad Tea Party Teacups, the Disneyland Railroad, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Mark Twain Riverboat, and the Storybook Land Canal Boats.
Okay, well, none of these rides are, like, super suited to me. I understand that people really love the railroad, everybody. Walt was a...
It's me. I'm people.
It's you, yes. You are people. Big time train junkie, and it is cool. And the riverboat is also kind of cool, but it's big and slow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the only Disney ride that you can go to hell in. It's Mr. Toad.
Okay, fair.
I'm getting a little political with this one because I don't want them to close it down. Fair. So it's award winner. You can't close it down now.
That feels like an upset. It feels like a political statement was being made at these Oscars.
Well, I mean, the Oscars are political, so...
Very true.
They play favorites. Mr. Toad wrote a bigger check.
Yeah, all right, fair.
Gave me the deed to his house or something.
Well, that's actually the premise of the movie. So.
I know.
Well played. Our next category is the best death scene by a villain. Scar being torn apart by hyenas in The Lion King. Maleficent as a dragon being stabbed in the heart with a sword in Sleeping Beauty. Dr. Facilier being dragged down to hell by his friends on the other side in Princess and the Frog. Frollo being falling from the tower in Hunchback of Notre Dame. Or Mother Gothel aging many, many years immediately in Tangled.
Again, you hate Ursula. Ursula should be on this list. She gets stabbed real good. With
by a boat.
By a boat. By a boat.
That is a good one. I tried to have, like, different death scenes, and because I already had Maleficent being stabbed, I didn't want to do a stabby stab.
Somewhat
I actually
similar.
Also had Gaston on here falling, but I'm like, that's too similar to Frollo falling.
Yeah.
But there's something about Frollo falling, because he had his whole, like, hellfire thing, and then he falls into this city. He
yeah,
lit on fire.
No, a lot of these are very poetic. Probably Princess and the Frog, because the whole voodoo hell
that part's
thing
cool.
is really cool.
That part's cool.
And I think I liked him the best of... like the best part of that movie.
We have paused our decades watching, but we're going to restart in the next couple months because we left off in the 90s and we have the 2000s and 2010s left to do, but we want to rewatch some of these ones. Of course, now that we haven't grown up with these ones, we've only seen them once or twice. So I'm actually really looking forward to I'm actually really looking forward to watching Princess and the Frog again and seeing Dr. Facilier get dragged down by his friends on the other side. They have some cool death scenes, actually.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. Best musical score from a Disney film. From a Disney animated film. Lion King by Hans Zimmer. Fantasia, classical collection. Beauty and the Beast, that's an Alan Menken. WALL-E, Thomas Newman. And Up by Michael Giacchino.
Ooh. Strong. Very strong.
But this is like an Oscar category. Disney.
It is very, very, very strong category. Whew. I'm going to have to go with the only one where the score is the main character and it's Fantasia is going to win. The other ones, you have songs that also boost the score, so the score isn't really Yeah, anyway, okay. It's Fantasia.
Okay, fair.
But the score is strong. It's strong in all. Yeah, that's...
No, I get it, because I did say best musical score. I didn't say best movie with a strong musical score. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, fair winner. So we always have best short, animated short. This time we're doing best animated Disney short.
Yeah, okay.
Now, these are actually specifically Pixar, because you'll notice Paper Man's not on here.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Partly Cloudy. That's with the cloud, and there's the animals, and he keeps getting, like, the really dangerous ones. For the Birds, with the
power line.
The power line, yeah, exactly, uh-huh. Yeah. Jerry's Game, that's plays the chess game, yeah, good, yeah. Uh-huh. And shows up in Toy Story 2, yeah, Jerry, yeah.
Well.
The animated character, yeah.
Maybe. It's the same model. Yeah. Who knows if it's the same character. But
Boundin,
yes.
One of the ones that had sound in it, it's... About, like, it's a jackalope, and he goes bounding, and he's explaining to the sheep why he shouldn't be sad after he got all his sheep shorn.
I only vaguely remember that one.
Okay. And then Lava, which we actually talked about on a recent Valentine's Day episode.
Yes.
With the volcanoes.
If it's a short category, I'm going to be short on this one. It's Jerry's Game.
Fair. I almost thought you were going to pick For the Birds, because that's just a fun one.
Yeah, it's fun. No, yeah. But it's Jerry's Game. Okay. Yeah. All
right.
Yeah.
Best Disney bucket list item. Ride in the Lily Bell. Visit all the Disney parks. Go on a Disney cruise. Stay in the Disneyland Hotel. Go into Club 33. One of these I will never get to do.
The achievability of these is a little uneven. And I'm sorry. Club 33 is like the ultimate bucket list. Yeah. Disney, like any Disney fan, if you said that you were ever in Club 33, their jaw would drop.
100%. So all of these things I could eventually cross off. I mean, some of them are going to be way more expensive than others. Except, like, Lily Bell is really hard to do, and that's not really...
It's hard, but it's not expensive.
Right. It's not your choice to you do have to it be is a one thing.
You have to be lucky.
Yeah. So one thing that is often on Disney, this is, like, be pixie dusted. That kind of goes with the
Lily Bell. Yeah, that's a version of pixie dusting. Something like a hot... It's in between, like, getting... a pretzel and being asked to stay in the Cinderella suites. Yeah. Like, there's levels. Yeah. They have lots of pixie dust levels. And that's magical. It's like in the middle. Mm-hmm.
But Club 33 is probably never going to happen.
No, never.
Good choice. That's what I would pick.
Unless we get a lot more podcast fans. Like a lot more.
Like a lot more.
So tell 10 friends and have them tell 10 friends. And then in 5 steps, we'll have 1 billion fans. And that's how it goes.
And that's how we go to Club 33.
Yeah.
Oh. So we had best costume categories before.
Okay.
We have another category. Best scantily clad character costume.
There is some scantily clad. It's very just... These are movies for kids. Come on.
That's the thing. Oh, that's the thing.
I'm clutching my pearls.
Oh, me too.
No, not really.
Tarzan and his loincloth.
He does have a very small loincloth.
Jasmine's green costume, which is her second nomination today.
Yeah.
Leia's gold bikini. Ariel's purple seashells. Or Tinkerbell's green dress.
It is quite a short dress. Mm-hmm. Jasmine's green costume is from when... Jafar...
Oh, sorry, it should be red. Yes, red costume. That's when Jafar makes, like...
slaves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I was just, wondering. That's actually a kind of a good homage to Leia's bikini. It's very similar type of situation, I would say. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's Leia's bikini.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's... Do you know why I would also pick the same thing? Because of her response.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, her response, like, she hated it, absolutely hated it.
Yeah, it was...
And then, but very famously for, I'm sure everyone knows this, but very famously, a woman wrote her a letter saying, what should I tell my daughter, when just, like, why you wore it? And she said, a big, ugly slug made me wear it, and then I strangled him because of it.
Exactly.
And I was like...
It was very exploitative, but it was also, in the plot, it was exploitative, so it did work a little bit, but it was probably unnecessary. But I still like it.
But
so
I also really, but I also really enjoy the fact that, like, I mean, it's not the costume, but part of the costume is the chains, and then she literally uses those to kill him.
Yeah.
So
it works.
Hats off, Leia. It's one of Leia's awesome moments in this terrible outfit that she hated. So I would actually agree that that is my favorite as well. Most significant or important controversial Disney topic. The discussions that are happening right now about turning reds, looking at puberty, the removal of Song of the South references from theme parks, Red the Pirate auction scene change in Pirates of the Caribbean, the firing of Gina Carano, And the inclusion of confirmed and obvious same-sex couples, namely in Out and The Eternals. I picked an animated and I picked a live action.
Yep.
So significant or important?
Yeah, a significant and important. A lot of these are virtue signaling. I don't think that turning red is that controversial and that people that are making it controversial are idiots. The most important one is inclusion of same-sex couples. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having that on screen is very, very important.
Especially when it's just like, it's not a big deal. Like, yeah, in Eternals, they go talk to the guy. Yeah. He happens to have a husband instead of a wife.
Yeah.
That's like, the end of like the story.
The plot would be the same if it wasn't a same-sex couple, but they just are. And yeah. That's how it should be.
Exactly. But yes, that's what I would have chosen as well. Because all of these things, though, the fact that they're getting brought up and people are having... virtue signaling is going on, people are having discussions about them, I think it's good that people are having discussions about them anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't need to be finding problems with them, but you know, yeah, they do.
Being woke is not really an insult. it's a stupid term. Oh god. Anyway,
I thought that was a fun one to end on because, like you said, the Oscars are always very political.
They are, yes.
Yeah. And since we didn't have any acceptance speeches that could get political, there's your, or controversial anyway.
Yes.
We didn't have music to play off, so there was a whole category instead.
Okay, well, yeah. Address your angry letters to Krista and I will delete them. How about that?
Oh, well, that's about it. You were kind of annoyed that some of your favorite choices weren't nominated in some of these categories.
Ah, there's always snubs in the awards.
That's it.
Always snubs.
That's it. What was the biggest upset, do you think?
I think Ursula not being nominated in any of the villain categories was probably the biggest upset.
Especially because she's literally my favorite.
Yeah, so I think there was like a bias in the nominee panel.
I was consciously trying not to let my bias come through, and it had
reverse bias. Yeah,
like split the vote.
Uh-huh.
So that's our show for this week. Did you have fun?
Yeah, I think
you were nervous about this this week.
Yeah, it seemed like a bit of a reach, but I think we're all winners now.
Isn't it great that we're all better people?
Oh, I didn't say anything about being better people.
Oh, just winners.
Just winners.
Because we're being judgy. Well, thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show.
You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, where you can find links to all our social media accounts, like Instagram and the Twitters and the TikTok. No, we don't do TikTok.
No, we're in our 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So we do not do TikToks.
No TikToking. You can find our podcast on all your favorite streaming platforms.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, pretty much.
All the streaming platforms.
All the ones I know about,
yeah,
anyways.
That's true. Also, exciting news. We have YouTube videos back up and running again.
Woot?
Yeah, Woot. What is Woot?
That's actually originated from EverQuest, Woot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're a nerd.
it's an exclamation of joy, but it is a shortened version of wow, loot is where that came from. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Historical fun fact for you.
Okay, well, check Adventures A, and then you'll find our YouTube channel. Woot.
Woot.
And we have pretty exciting adventures coming up soon. It's very exciting. So big adventures. So stay tuned because we're...
More adventures than Winnie the Pooh. And he has many.
He has so many. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't, what are you doing? Go do it now.
That makes me sad.
That must make me sad. That makes me as sad as Eeyore. Aw, it's pretty sad.
And if you know someone who might like listening to us... you should tell them to, because that's what friends do.
Yeah. And we are friends. It's from Jungle Book.
Okay. Anyway. You can also listen to the Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Magic of the Mouse Radio can be found on most radio station apps.
They have really cool like podcasts and stuff up there, too. So whether it's music or theme park sounds,
you can
or
flick
podcasts.
It on at work and just listen to Disney stuff. Yeah,
I often do during, I don't have much time free at work, but if I have a lunchtime when I'm not on supervision, Magic of the Mouse Radio, and then I get all excited for Disney.
Sweet.
Yeah. Do you know what I just realized when I was singing We Are Friends? There could be a whole category about friendship songs, because there are a lot.
There are.
So, yeah. Next year.
There's almost as many friendship songs as there are love songs.
Almost.
Not quite, but.
No, but almost.
Yeah.
So next week, what are we doing, Brandon?
Well, we just had a very exciting addition to the Disney Plus lineup. Yeah. And I believe this is Disney Plus across the way, because in Canada we've had Star.
Yes.
Which has had more adult content, a lot of the Fox stuff that is on Hulu in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But the Defenders series from Netflix, produced and were airing on Netflix, and it's very much more adult Marvel content.
Definitely.
Quite violent in a lot of ways.
And I'm pretty sure there's like language and sexual content.
Yeah,
and
stuff like that. Not for kiddies. But they're adding it to Disney Plus, which hasn't had anything that's adult, and they're adding parental controls.
Yep.
The whole nine yards. And it's very exciting because they're kind of consolidating this MCU adjacent thing into Disney itself, especially with recent cameos and whatnot, and there's a lot of speculation. Very exciting. So we're going to talk about our experiences with the Defenders universe.
Yeah. So figured like short summaries. So do be prepared. There will be spoilers if you haven't seen those and you're concerned about it.
Yes. Some spoilers and a lot of love for Iron Fist, I'm sure.
And then I thought it'd be kind of fun if we talked about how they could show up in the greater MCU now that everything's kind of adjacent and interconnected and, you know, multiversal.
Everywhere. Bring them. Okay.
So I just wanted a spoiler warning for next week if you're concerned about that. Well, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until that next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney, eh?
Say it with me. Churro!